Hey, Tara Strong here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Transformers, more than meets the eye. Transformers, robots in disguise. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. Transformers.
Hey, Sari here. This episode of Transformation Animation Podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Transformation Animation Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Steve Jim and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Good day, sir.
And Pecan Court Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Not a very enthusiastic greeting, but yeah.
It's
we
late.
Just
We're
came
tired.
Off of recording a 1 hour, 48 minute long Dark of the Moon discussion where the three of us joined with Optimus Solo, the Cybertronian correspondent, talked about Dark of the Moon in depth, our thoughts and all that stuff. That's what we've been up to. So let's get into some episodes.
I like your style. I think we can teach each other a few tricks. If I wasn't about to, you know, hand you over to the Decepticons.
Step away from the Autobot!
Wait, I know you. EMP generator, right? I'm not good with names and faces, but I never forget a trophy. How's the old bucket? Still dented? Maybe I should pound the other side and even them out.
So first up today is the thrill of the hunt. Ratchet thinks back to the time when he served in the Cybertronian War as a field medic. During the fighting, he was sent to rescue an intelligence agent named RC, who was injured during the fighting. The intelligence code she possesses could turn the war in the Decepticons' favor. For that reason, Megatron sends the bounty hunter for hire, Lockdown, to capture her, snagging Ratchet in the process. Back in the present, Lockdown has resurfaced and uses Ratchet's EMP generator to capture Optimus Prime. Recruited by Blitzwing and Lugnut to locate the Autobots who destroyed Megatron, Lockdown is revealed to be just a bounty hunter who doesn't care about the Decepticons' cause and just does it for the upgrades that he can get. Ratchet eventually defeats him, reclaims his EMP generator, and saves Prime, and opens up about his experiences to his leader. Well, Kevin should be happy. This one focused pretty much all on the robots. I mean, there's virtually no humans in this episode.
So true.
That was a good episode. I enjoyed it.
When I first saw the car, I was like, ooh, mysterious car. And I liked in the flashback that we see an animated version of a war-torn Cybertron. I really enjoyed that. RC, yay, thank God they didn't make her a tool for the Rodimus Springer War. That's all I'm going to say on that.
That's all you're going to say. Leave it alone.
Yep. Lockdown is a badass.
He has no choice to be a badass because Lance Henriksen is the voice.
Yes, that is so awesome.
He is awesome. He has the best voice. He talks more quickly than voice actors usually talk, but you know, you can kind of give him a pass because he's just so awesome.
Yeah. I didn't write the second part of this next note down, but I realized it as I was watching the episode afterwards. When they are fighting Lockdown and his ship and all that stuff, auto guns with Cheetor sound.
Was it Cheetor sound?
It was the Cheetor guns. I swear to God, I'll have to go back and watch it, but I swear to God it was the Cheetor gun sound.
I didn't. I wasn't specifically listening for it. I was so psyched that Prowl had jumped up, cut one down, and used it to shoot all the other guns. I cheered. I was like, yeah!
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
It was.
Codes crucial to the war effort. Interesting, and that's all I'm going to say on that because we know what happens, but Kevin doesn't. So that's one of the things I didn't mention to you guys off air. I specifically, I have to try to avoid the spoilers because Kevin will get pissed, and he won't listen to the podcast until we finish. And my final note, is it just me or did I hear a bit of G1-esque music at the very end of this one? Kind of like a G1 outro, type, like the main Generation 1 theme. I could have sworn I heard like a two notes of the outro.
I didn't hear that. I did like the soundtrack for the episode.
Yeah.
They had a really nice rock riff that started when Bumblebee started chasing Lockdown.
Yep.
It sounded pretty cool. I mean, it's not Batman Beyond, but it's still pretty cool for a cartoon soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh, wow, I just noticed none of my notes... Bumblebee must be getting better for me because none of my notes include Bumblebee as being a dick again.
Well, he didn't take center stage in this one.
That's true, too. I was going to say, of course, this is a Ratchet-centric episode, yeah. So...
And there was no Sorry, so normally you've got Bumblebee and Sorry doing their own thing. But she wasn't this at all.
Kind of leaves you to wonder where they were and what were they doing during this episode.
Dude, she's like 8. Wait until like season 3 before the Bow Chicka Wow Wow. I left a line. Bumblebee was in this because in the beginning he said, "What crawled up your tailpipe?"
Yeah, he. But what I'm saying is, as you said, it's not a Bumblebee centric episode, so it, you know, his dickishness didn't really overpower it.
Yeah. But I did like the Ratchet flashback, and that they called him Field Tech Ratchet, and he had both of his horns.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
I like that. I like that his voice was toned down. It was much less gruff and old sounding.
Yeah.
It's a testament to the voice actor that he's able to go from rawr, 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 to more of a normal sounding voice.
Well, do that again.
Rawr, rawr, rawr. Yeah. I can't do it. I don't do voices.
I hope Yamo's not anywhere near you because you sound like a dog when you do that.
Oh, he's sleeping over here. He won't go without 5 feet away from me, but he's still asleep.
Corey Burton has a very, very wide range. I mean, just look at Ratchet compared to Megatron. Very wide range Corey Burton has.
Right. The I don't want to say that there was a love interest here, but there was definitely something between Ratchet and RC.
Oh, yeah, you could see that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it may have just been, you know, way back when Ratchet had a good bedside manner. You know, he was, you know, more friendly. But this looked like it was a little more than just friendly. It looked like he was hitting on her. Which, you know, you really shouldn't do to your patients. You know, despite how cute they are. Well, she's pink. She had, you know, it's inferred.
No, there was more of an emotional attachment here rather than I want to suck your robot juices out,
dude.
Oh, we're not
going down
me.
That path this time. Yeah.
Like, well, we gotta have some sort of crude humor. I mean, it's not as dark as
at this
you know,
time.
It's not as dark as Barney and Megatron, but.
No, but there's a lot of cute scenes here, like Ratchet, you know, when he first finds her, she's like, I can't feel my leg, it's because her leg is gone, you know, and as dark as this could be, right, as they could have made it, he actually touches her leg, and it's like, bzz, and he says, oh, well, you're in shock.
Because
he got shocked.
The obvious here.
I know. I thought that was funny. I'm like, oh, because he shocked her. That's funny. But another Bumblebee quote where he tells Ratchet that you freeze up like a crankcase in December. There's a lot of car related humor here.
Oh yeah, we'll get to the car related humor later as well, because I found a car joke with Bulkhead later in the podcast recording here.
Yeah. Lockdown divides and conquers.
Yep.
Basically, you know, and it seems like every Decepticon so far has no problem whatsoever, you know, taking apart everyone. And he's doing it one at a time. He's doing it smart, rather, where he's separating everybody out, getting them one at a time. You know, up until Prowl comes along, because Prowl is the only one that can really best him in combat.
Yep.
That's because Prowl has patience and everybody else is kind of like, run at him.
chase him, and then die, yeah. And then get the snap beat out of you because he's a better fighter than you are.
Lockdown is more like a seasoned, kind of a cross between a wrestler and Boba Fett.
I kind of thought of him as a robot predator.
That's more accurate.
Know? He's very
well with that tattooed face. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that he takes prisoners, or not prisoners, trophies.
Yep.
He takes prisoners too, if necessary. But no, more to the point, he takes trophies. He's actually gonna, you know, polish your skull and put it on his mantle.
He'll take your good parts and fix himself.
Exactly.
He's like Hannibal.
Oh God! Oh, you talk about my robot juices being horrible for this. That's bad for this show right there.
He's not eating anybody. He's not.
But it's like Buffalo Bill. Liver. They skin people and they put their parts on them.
Ew! No.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
God, why do you guys have to do this shit?
Sorry.
I was almost thinking he's like Rampage, but...
No, not that Hannibal. Oh, we're losing Blanchard. Anyway, so at the end, Ratchet, you know, he's basically traumatized for life by this guy, and then years later runs into lockdown again and completely freezes up like a crankcase in December. But in the end, he comes back and he's able to defeat him, you know, mostly due to the fact that Lockdown is relying heavily on that EMP generator and Ratchet is immune to it. But he comes back at the end and saves the day, and he manages to rescue Optimus Prime. And, you know, in the end, what he does serves to redeem himself for what he did to RC during the war. You know, they explain by the end of the story that he stripped her memory completely in order to keep those secret code. I won't spoil it for Kevin, but to keep the secret codes away from the Decepticons. He has to live with that. You know, it's hard on him. And partially, you know, that's why he's a gruff, angry old man, is because he's got these demons from his past. But he serves to redeem himself at least a little bit when he helps to defeat Lockdown. What do you think, Steve?
I like the character of Lockdown. Just all around, besides kind of his creepy, like, hunter feeling that he's got, he's just a badass. I mean, anybody that goes through and picks off his prey one by one, and just, you know, is not even fazed by it. You've got to be a badass. I mean, he just keeps going.
He keeps going and going and going.
It's like the Energizer Transformer. I mean, he just never dies.
Yep.
And then he ties you down to a table and cuts your arms off.
Well, if that's what he wants. I mean, if he, you know, he's got to figure out which part on you is unique, so he's got to take it with him.
He wants your very special arm.
Yes, he wants your third arm and your EMP generator, so he's going to be shockingly great. But, yes, that was a little too far. But anyways, I like how Ratchet kicks his ass by the end.
Yep.
It just shows that even Ratchet, as old as he is, can still be a badass.
He's got a few tricks up his sleeve there.
He's like, I'm getting too old for this shit. And he's just like, I'm not taking it anymore. Get off my lawn.
Give me back my beat. Mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Give me back my lawnmower.
Well, I mean, when he can physically pick you, well, I don't say physically, but he uses his the electromagnetic posts or whatever he's got, but he uses them to pick up lockdown and throw him into a wall several times and then put a car on top of him forcibly.
And then he's like, he's like, in a slow moment of the episode, he's like, think, Ratchet, think. It's a ship, not a door. It has an airlock. So at least you have these Transformers guys, at least you have these Autobots using their brains.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done that several times here in the series so far, and it's still early on yet, but yep. They're thinking to win as opposed to just using overpowering force.
Like the Unicron trilogy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could have just as easily, you know, thrown Bulkhead at the door. And, you
know, combine! Autobots, combine!
Bulkhead pants.
Optimal Tron.
Oh. Do we have anything else for the thrill of the hunt?
I think it's definitely one of the better episodes we've had so far.
Yep.
Yeah, and it really gives some foreshadowing to Ratchet and things to come.
That, and it also gives you foreshadowing to Prowl and Lockdown. As Michael said, Prowl is the only one to really best him. And that will come up later. Much, much later.
Oh, yeah.
Shh. Oh. Don't say it.
Spoiler-free zone.
That is one of my favorite episodes, too.
All right, so we're moving on.
Right, transform and roll out in your original vehicle mode.
Listen up. We need to approach with extreme caution. He's carrying unstable Destronium.
Destronium? Why would a small-time crook want to steal Destronium?
You think that's what turned his hair white?
White hair in organics is usually a function of age.
Age? That's it!
Bumblebee, what are you doing?
Using my head and my thrusters! You're slowing down, old man! And now you're going down!
Hey! Come back with my payday!
You want this thing so bad? Come and get it!
So next up is Nanosec. To obtain Destronium to help rebuild his body, Megatron bails a fleet-footed thief named Nino Sexton out of jail and gives him Isaac Sumdac's experimental super speed suit to obtain the Destronium for him. Since the Destronium is highly unstable, it needs to be transported quickly. No more than for 10 minutes, but from the research lab to Megatron directly. Meanwhile, to catch up to the villain, Bumblebee experiments with some new rocket boosters, but they do more harm than good. Eventually, the Autobots exploit Nanosec's weakness, rapidly accelerating age, and defeat him through teamwork and get rid of the exploding Destronium. when they're going to, like, this episode started for me just like the Angry Archer episode did. Random human criminal running from Bumblebee and Bulkhead. My first note was, we already saw the Ed 209 cop bots. We have the Ed 209B cop bots. Man, these bots are dumb. Pursue criminal, whack against wall, whack against... Ah, God, these robots are dumb.
Dumb.
Bumblebee and Bulkhead are arguing, so Nino decides that he's going to run away, and Bulkhead stupidly uses his wrecking ball on a wooden pier. He goes, "You mind? We're talking here. Why does this remind me of the line in Spider-Man, 'Shh, Mom and Dad have to talk'?" It's the scene where he Spider-Man puts webbing over J. Jonah's mouth because he and the Goblin have to talk.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny. "Do you mind? We're talking here."
I know. That's probably the only line I like from Bulkhead so far.
Oh, no, he's funny. During this whole scene, while they're chasing Nino around in the beginning, there's fireworks going off. And it makes the scene look cool because, you know, when the pier caves in and Nino's hanging by a stick, right? And he's like, "Help, help." Optimus Prime actually pulls him out. And they frame, you know, Nino looking up at Prime. And all around him are these fireworks.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, is this supposed to be 4th of July?
It could be, yeah.
Because the next episode takes place in October.
Yeah.
So it's like, what exactly is the time frame here? not that anybody knows and or cares, but it's just like, okay, something to think about.
You know, now that you mention about Optimus pulling Nino up and about the dock being destroyed by Bulkhead, The first thing I can think of is, oh my god, it's a super shredder! Because the dock collapses when Shredder becomes Super Shredder. Yeah. And the dock collapsed because Bulkhead did something stupid. Have you got your processor up your exhaust port? I know internet and all that stuff. We use LOL all the time. I literally laughed with that one. Yeah. That was funny. I'm going to jinx myself here and say Bumblebee is slightly less of a dick in this episode so far.
Well, he actually ends up heroic by the end.
Right, yeah.
You know, and again, this is another one of those episodes where he started off in the beginning, he's kind of like, oh, I'm going to make dumb decisions, you know? And then toward the middle, he's learning, and at the end, he's learned his lesson, and everybody's the better for it. And
TFA Bumblebee is the animated version of Sam Witwicky from the Transformers live action movies. They make him the douchebag of the week, and then they give him all the character development, and then they take it away from him in the next episode.
They take it right back in the next episode. That's right.
Prowl. Okay, this is what really bugs me, and this is I can kind of see what Kevin was saying about these being metallic beings and all that in the last episode in episode one. Prowl having his foot on Nanosec would crush the human. Yes, I know Prowl has all kinds of control and balance and all that, but as I said, like Kevin said in previous episode, these are metal robots. Damn it, Nanosec would be dead.
Well, it was the same thing when Prime reached down and grabbed Nino as he fell from the pier. I'm thinking, that would crush every bone in his hand. There's just no way.
Yeah. Bumblebee, even though he becomes the hero at the end again, he has the worst what-the-fuck moment in this episode. Mm. Instead of transforming after coming to a complete stop on the train tracks, he just sits there, and then Bulkhead comes in and destroys the train to save the moronic robot.
He pulls the train back, yeah. Why couldn't he just transform and jump out of the way?
That's what I'm saying!
It's like, wouldn't that have made sense? I mean, honestly, if that was me, I just would have transformed to the last second and dove right past the train. I mean, that would make more sense. I mean, he could have dove past the train and then re-transformed.
Yep.
I mean, granted, you know, you're supposed to show that Nanosec is faster than he is, but he didn't have to almost die by getting hit by a train.
I know. And technically, I'm nuts, bolts, and armored plating with a few special features. I love that line from Optimus. Nanosec. A human gets Prime off his feet with the cable from his own weapon. Boo!
When I was watching this, I was thinking, go for the legs. It may be our only chance.
Yeah. Optimus Prime is not an AT-AT.
I know. I just thought that was funny.
my final note for this one, I think back when they were out in the galaxy that they had their Cybertronian modes, Bumblebee had a different battle mask. I cannot be sure about this, but I like the one that he uses here in this episode a lot better. One final thing I will say before I give it to Michael or Steve is when Bumblebee was coming back down into the atmosphere and he was burning up, I screen capped it because, oh, hey, it's Cliff Jumper because he turned bright red.
I like that he was red, and I don't consider it a Cliff Jumper homage, though, because Cliff Jumper actually shows up.
Yeah, I mean, he shows up later. I get that, but
yeah.
But I mean, to someone cool. Who hasn't seen the series, they would have noticed that as a Cliff Jumper reference.
Yeah, a red Bumblebee is automatically Cliff Jumper.
That's right.
in any other continuity, but in this one, Cliff Jumper is he actually looks different. Same alt mode, right? But I mean, they make him look different.
I don't even think we see Cliff Jumper's alt mode in the series.
Only in the toy.
Well, right, yeah.
He never actually and most of the time he's just sitting behind a desk. He doesn't actually
transform. But that's way, way later. Any other why don't we go to Steve first? Steve hasn't talked too much. What do you got, Steve?
I hate anything to do with human villains.
So does Kevin.
I find them extremely annoying. I don't mind Bumblebee whatsoever. I mean, he's not the best character, but I don't hate him. Nanosec is probably one of the, I don't know, little bit more intelligent villains to some extent. just in how he looks and is portrayed. Angry Archer and Professor Princess are bullshit. This Nanosec is not as bad. One of the things I noticed about the Decepticons say that Destronium is necessary to build parts of sufficient quality. It's got the word Destron in it.
Yep.
That's clearly a nod to the Japanese for Decepticon.
Yeah, which I found that was quite interesting that they did that. As for at Nanosec, I did not like him whatsoever. And then, of course, you know, Sari and her stupid key.
Key? She played a minor role in this. I mean,
yeah, I barely noticed her this time.
No, I liked it when she used her key to help Bumblebee install his rocket boosters. Because, then when he first uses them, she's in the driver's seat and her whole face is like, ugh! she's got that rocket propulsion going on. And then once they get over that, they're like, you rock! No, you rock! No, you rock! No, you rock! And, I just thought that was adorable. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
But she's not annoying or anything. Didn't Nanosec, didn't he get, aged?
Yeah, that was the weakness, and Bumblebee figured it out. He has to go as fast as possible to where Nanosec has to go faster, but as Nanosec uses the suit ages him. So that's how he died of ageism. Or not died, he didn't die, but he got weakened from ageism.
He just turned into Grandpa Simpson.
Well, he's almost like how they used that Flash from the Justice League movie the alternate Earth. They made him go so fast. Forth. Yeah, he went so fast he became extremely old and just died.
Yeah.
But it also reminds me of Vulture from Spider-Man.
Vulture Vulture was initially old though, and then he used the Tablet of Time to get young again. So that's kind of
he used his suit to sap life out of people.
That's true.
Younger. So this is actually kind of a reverse thing, but it's still kind of weird. I wish he would have died.
10 years older.
I wish Nanosec would have died. That's
Oh.
I just, yeah.
Does he show up in the League of Evil Eagle? Or League of Evil Eagle?
SUV, Society of Ultimate Villainy. Yes, he does.
I think so, yeah. Did you notice
at least he doesn't die then?
They use the term Big Bot again in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bumblebee uses it.
Oh, I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Yep. And they do use it throughout the series, so Kevin, sorry about your luck, dude. I remember the first episode, he's like, I like the reference, but I hope they don't use this again in this series ever. Sorry about your luck. They use it throughout the series. Anything else, Steve?
No, other than I don't like this episode. It should burn in a fire. Other than the only significant plot device was Bumblebee got jets and Megatron is scrounging up materials for his body.
Yes.
Right.
What about you, Michael? What did you not like or like about the Nanosec episode?
You know, I think that any human enemy they're going to introduce after Meltdown is just going to pale in comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like his name, Nino Sexton, and it sounds kind of like Nanosec, but it isn't until he actually robs a bank and the bank teller says the money disappeared in a Nanosec, and Nino's like, "Hey, I like that." You know, arguably lame, might be lame. I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. I think. Again, this is targeted toward children. They're probably gonna, you know, giggle over it more than we will.
Yeah. That's creepy. Don't do that again. Stop it.
Megatron speaks. We get Megatron talks, and he says
he talked last episode too.
Yeah, but I mean, he actually comes out and says, "Don't tell my Autobot friends."
He says, I don't want them to see me in this weakened state.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're keeping up the charade.
Yeah, so far, right.
The facade.
Yeah. Bumblebee gets his booster rockets. And, you know, I like this because the rockets were on the toy.
Yeah.
I think those are cool. And they work in both robot mode and vehicle mode on the toy, too.
So they finally give you a prop that's actually usable.
Exactly. And the question becomes, are the rockets a gift from Sumdac, or did Sari just steal them?
Sari just does whatever the hell she wants to do, just like she's like in the beginning. You guys need a place to stay. Here's this abandoned auto factory that my dad doesn't even know that he has.
Yeah. Well, and that you know, leads me at the end where you've got... I'm jumping way ahead of all my other notes here, but you've got Sumdac and Megatron just kicking back and having a beer, and he says, I wonder how that criminal got my, you know, super speed suit. Mm. And, you know, Megatron's like, I believe it was an inside job. And, you know, it's funny, but, you know, the first thing Sumdac should have said is, that fucking Sari's been in my lab again. She just runs off with anything that's not nailed down. I, you know. Someone's going to have to spank her and just tell her
Daddy,
no.
Daddy, spank!
Don't spank me, Daddy, stop! But, I mean, I'll swipe her, no swiping.
Oh, God.
Come here, Sari. We must spank you with my robo-drone. Come here, Megatron. You must spank my girl.
With my big hand.
With my big hand.
You know what's funny, too, is we were talking about parallels between, you know, the first Transformers movie and this, and I think in the last episode we were talking about the Cosmic Cube or the AllSpark.
Yeah.
Being analogous to the.
He said Aglet. A G L E T.
I forget how the song goes now. Damn it. Phineas and Ferb reference, sorry.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, anyway, but yeah, so there's that, and then there's completely lost my train of thought. Oh, God.
Something about the AllSpark and the comparisons between the movie and this?
Yeah, yeah. And I lost it. You threw out a Phineas and Ferb reference and completely derailed my mind.
All right, move on.
All right, anyway, moving right along there. Yeah, so I like the Megatron, the way he uses the high-speed pulse messaging.
So that, yeah, like, that was cool.
Yeah, Nanosec is running really fast, and he sees this giant Megatron head in front of him. And it's not like a dismantled Megatron head, it's Megatron.
Yeah.
Which I thought ruled, you know.
Yeah.
It was a little less believable when his face popped up on an ATM.
I thought that was cool, though.
It's like, first of all, here, let me send over, you know, Sumdac's bank account numbers.
You know? Well, and, again, it goes to my point earlier in the last episode of the podcast. Megatron is tied into his system. Think of Megatron as the Brainiac of Transformers Animated. He can do anything.
Yeah.
Except build a body.
Except build a body. He needs the key to do that.
Well, we got a few more episodes before we get to that.
Right,
give
so,
me life.
So he's lacking the Destronium, the Destron metal. Oh, that's what I was going to say. The parallel to the movie was... when Old Man Witwicky finds Megatron in the Arctic, it's his head and the hand that he falls into. And now in Sumdac's lab, you've got Megatron's head and Megatron's hand. Yeah, that was a really roundabout way to get to that particular point. Sorry.
There you go.
Yeah. I like the Prowl's trying to teach Bumblebee patience. You know, he's very zen. And then he turns on his holographic writer.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that, you know? And I like the fact that...
What makes it cool is the holographic writer turns to Bumblebee and says, happy.
Exactly. The fact that when Prowl talks, the cop moves his mouth, too. I mean,
yeah.
I like that. I think that's cool. They made a reference to I-94 that goes through Detroit. It's funny because I take I-94 to work. So, funny Midwest reference there.
Yes.
Bumblebee, I don't know if he said this before or not, but the Bumblebee-isms pop out in this episode. He says, I'm the fastest thing on wheels.
Yeah.
Has he said that before?
I don't think so.
And the other one is he says, let's motor. Let's motor. Yeah,
I don't mind let's motor, but... I've said it before, and I'm probably going to say it again in future episodes. The problem with Bumblebee is the ego. I just don't like the ego. But I really do like Let's Motor. That's a good saying.
I like that.
Let's motor in Motown.
They're in Detroit. Ah,
exactly.
You're killing me.
What? It was right there.
It's funny. That's funny.
Anything else on Nanosec?
Fire Guts Bumblebee. That's a Japanese reference. Yeah. Anytime a character turns red, they repaint him in red translucent plastic and call him Fire Guts.
Yep.
So, Fire Guts Bumblebee. I'm kind of glad that we didn't get a straight red, you know, Bumblebee repaint, because that would end up being a Cliffjumper later on.
Yeah,
I like Cliffjumper a lot better than I would like a red Bumblebee.
But they only made Activator's Cliffjumper, didn't they? They didn't make like a deluxe Cliffjumper.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, but I mean, he had a different head.
Right. Well, I mean, normally the only one I can compare is War for Cybertron. You know. Bumblebee, Cliffjumper, War for Cybertron. It's the same body, but the Cliffjumper has a different head.
Right. All right, exactly. Well, they did the same thing with the Seeker Jets, too. I mean, sometimes you'll get a Seeker repaint in an Activator size, and sometimes you'll get a Seeker repaint in a Voyager size.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they kind of go back and forth.
Yep.
But the repaint I'd like to see is when he turns gray at the end, because I thought he died.
Yeah.
you know, they said, oh, we're going to need your electromagnetism to slow him down, and, you know, I'm going to use my foam to cool him down. And when he hits the ground, he's gray. And we know from the pilot that when you turn gray, you're dead.
Well, now here's a difference, though. Bumblebee didn't hit the ground. Ratchet's magnetism kind of brought him down gently. And
yeah,
the whole gray thing was from burning up.
Burning up in the atmosphere.
It's burn marks, but it's gray because of what Optimus did with his fire extinguisher dealy thingamajig.
Right, right. So he didn't die. Well, when he landed, his eyes were still open.
Yeah.
His eyes were still blue. He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't fade out. You know?
If the eyes aren't gray, he's not dead.
Well, he has to close his eyes. He has to close his eyes and then die. But no, he was up and walking and talking pretty soon afterwards. So hey, that's cool. But no, a gray Bumblebee repaint would have been awesome. I would take that even as a knockoff or bootleg.
Oh yeah,
I think that would be neat. And at the end, you know, he walks home. So he's learned his lesson. He's like, I'm the fastest thing on wheels. Watch me now, you know. And well, at the end, he's like, I think I'll just walk if that's cool.
Yep.
So yeah, lesson learned. How long that'll last, I don't know, but yeah,
here he's learned not his very long. So with that, we're going to be moving on.
I know all your moves, Optimus. Pure textbook Autobot Academy.
Do I know you?
I know how easily you forget your friends. Although you managed to remember Sentinel that day.
Alita 1?
It's Black Arachnia now.
But I thought you were...
If either of you had bothered to search for me, you would have seen what happened. I tried to use my downloading power on the spiders, but I ended up infecting myself with their organic venom. I became something else. Not Autobot. Not organic. I was nothing but a freak!
Your organic half must have matched your energy signature. Had I known, I would have...
What? Brought me back to Cybertron to be dismantled and examined on some lab table?
So, you allied yourself with the Decepticons instead.
At least I know where I stand with them.
And finally up today is Along Came a Spider. It's Halloween, and Sari introduces the Autobots to Earth's custom and candy traditions. However, the entire affair brings up bad memories for Optimus, who is haunted by the ghosts of his past, specifically when he and his fellow bots, the cocky and arrogant Sentinel Prime, and power-mimicking Elita 1, were looking for a crashed Decepticon ship loaded with Energon cubes. When Sari takes Bumblebee and Bulkhead trick-or-treating, the spider-like Decepticon Black Arachnia, formerly Elita 1, shows up and targets Sari's key. She wants the key to get rid of her organic half that she got when she was on the organic planet infested with the giant spiders. The spider's venom somehow mutated her Cybertronian systems, making her a freak. After seeing how Sari's key can heal Autobots, she wants to use it to purge her organic half. However, her body can't survive without her organic half. Now, as a result of using the key, she nearly kills off all organic matter in the entire city, which includes herself and Sari. Optimus gets the key away from her, and Black Arachnia escapes alone once again. I love Prime's analysis of Halloween.
What did he say?
God. So it's just dressing up and bribing people for this, sugary confection type. I don't know. It's one of the quotes in the episode. So
okay.
Just his simple-minded, not really that Optimus Prime is simple-minded, but just the way that they're introducing the humans, the way they're introducing the robots to Earth and humanity,
Yeah.
I find it really good because they don't, the Autobots don't get it. The Transformers just don't get it quite.
Yeah. They think of everything literally.
Yeah, it's kind of like going back to like the first couple episodes when Prime first meets Sari and he's like, "How do you get those small organics?" Okay.
Well, it's even worse. It's like, you know, what's baby food? It's like, you know, like,
yeah.
Is it food actually made out of babies? You know, and they see everything, and it's a literal explanation.
Yeah,
kind of takes the wonder out of it.
So wait, Optimus wanted to do the right and responsible thing of leaving the planet, yet Sentinel wanted to find the Energon-y goodness. What the fuck?
I don't want to say that this is out of character for him.
It probably isn't, but my point is that in the first part of the flashback, Optimus is trying to be the responsible one, and in the second part of the flashback, when they've already left Elita, Optimus is like, oh, well, we have to go because the planet's going to explode or something's going
to
happen.
The Energon was about to go up, and they didn't want to
see that. Yeah, the Energon was about to go up. And Sentinel's like, no, we have to go back for her.
Right. I mean, I liked seeing Prime's Cybertron mode again. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And I liked Alita 1. I liked seeing her. She wasn't, you know, the leader of the Fembots here at this point. She's still young and she has a ponytail, which I thought was kind of funny. But no, it was a nice flashback scene. I'm wondering if they're overusing flashbacks at this point, because we just had Ratchet flashbacks and now we've got Prime flashbacks. But it really serves to push the story along.
Yeah, it does. A LOL moment. Sari's costume and impression of Optimus is priceless. It just is.
I don't like that.
I like Bumblebee's reaction. Eek! It's big, black, lots of legs. Ah, real monsters. Even though he doesn't say ah, real monsters. I added that in. Bumblebee as a vampire and walking all over Bulkhead's fumigation tent costume is kind of cool.
I like the vampire costume. I'm really surprised that somebody, you know, like Unicron.com or the Lucas Brothers or something, didn't come up with like a costume for him so that you could put fangs, like stickers or fang stickers or a cape on him to make him look like it's Halloween costume.
Yeah.
I totally would have bought that.
Yeah. So basically, Alita 1's power is a Transformers version of Rogue from the X-Men.
I really? Was so going to say that. Yeah. That's basically what she does. She absorbs people's power.
Now, I got to warn Kevin, because this might be a little bit of spoiler. I'm not doing this intentionally, but you might want to skip ahead a few moments here. Instead of Optimus and Alita being an item, Sentinel has feelings for Alita. Well, this being new continuity and all, why the slag not? And when I first wrote that note and I said, why the slag not? The first thing I thought of was, okay, you have Slipknot, a hardcore rock band. The Transformers band of that would be called Slagknot.
How is that spoilery?
Because later down the line we find out that Sentinel was the one that had feelings for her.
We know that because in the beginning of the episode when we first meet him, Sentinel has his arm around her.
But
it's clear that Alita 1 is Sentinel's girlfriend.
Yeah, okay.
And that's what makes it that much harder for Sentinel to say, okay, fine, let's go. Prime says, we gotta leave, and Sentinel's like, no, I'm staying. I gotta go get her. It's his girlfriend. He's not just gonna leave her behind.
Yeah. Cyber Venom. Yay, a Beast Wars reference. And here's where you mentioned about Lockdown being a muscle car. Here's where the other car reference comes in. When Sari is trying to reactivate Bulkhead, it sounds like a car trying to turn over.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
And my final note was Spider-Bot has ninja-like moves when she was basically facing off with Optimus. She was putting some karate on his ass.
Well, that she basically says, you know, I can anticipate every move you make.
Yeah.
You know, you're basically, I learned them all too at the same time you did.
Yeah.
And as if all of the, I want to say the power duplication, the rogue power, that Black Arachnia shows off by that point doesn't beat you over the head enough to say, hey, stupid, this is actually Alita 1.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, she finally comes out and says, all right, dumbass, I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm Alita 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I figured it out long before.
Yeah. What about you, Steve? What do you got for Along Came a Spider?
Alrighty. Well, to start out, I think that the Halloween, again, another useless attempt at something kiddish. Again, this falls in the category of Twister.
Yeah, one episode ago it was 4th of July, so.
Yeah, and now it's Halloween.
Yeah.
My, how time flies in the Transformers animated universe.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of interesting to see Alita and Sentinel in this episode.
Yeah.
Especially because when you see Alita in the flashback, you realize that is Black Arachnia.
Yeah, I knew immediately.
You can tell by the outline, the design, and some of the coloring.
You can't make that assumption because it's like, well, of course there are other female robots. And it's not just her. She's not the only one.
The reason why I made the assumption is because in the pilot movie, Black Arachnia in Shadow talks to Blitzwing and Lugnut. So I heard Cree Summer's voice.
Yeah.
And then you have Cree Summer voicing Alita One again.
Yeah.
So
it's like, you know, it doesn't really come across up until Optimus and Alita One end up in the Decepticon ship. And they're like, oh, wow, there is a lot of Energon here. And right next to the Energon is a helmet. And it's the same helmet that Black Arachnia later wears.
Oh, see, I didn't catch that. I knew it was going to be Black Arachnia at that moment because of all the spiders around them.
Right. Well, I mean, Cree Summer has, I love her voice acting, by the way. Everything she does is awesome. Yep. But she has done other voices for the series. She did, I want to say she did Teletran.
I think that was Tara Strong, but I'll have to go back and look.
I want to say it was Cree Summer who did the voice for Teletran. But no, I like her and everything she's in. But when I saw that helmet, that's what sealed it. It was like, no, clearly Alita One is, you know. And by the end of the show, they actually beat you over the head with it.
Oh, yeah.
Still a cool point, though. It's neat. I like how they take a Beast Wars reference and they tie it into a G1 reference.
Yeah. I like how they kind of showed her backstory and why she's so hateful of Autobots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she basically considers herself a freak. It's like Beast Machine's Megatron. It's like, I hate my beast mode.
Yep.
Exactly.
Anything else, Steve?
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, then, I'll rant for a bit.
What?
You think it's funny that Bulkhead looks like Pigpen in his giant fumigation tent? He's just walking around kicking up dust.
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah.
it was very Snoopy for me. Thought that was hilarious. I like Sari's costume. I was calling her Sari Miss Prime.
That's funny.
I thought it was funny that Prime is afraid of spiders. And, you know, in the beginning of the episode, it's like, man, what a giant wuss. He's afraid of spiders, right? And it's weird that he's a robot. You know, when could he have possibly been exposed to spiders that would make him this afraid of spiders? And then they get into the whole spider planet thing. But, yeah. You know, he basically makes the call to leave Alita behind. And, you know, he has to live with that. It's not something that really plagues him the way that the loss of RC plagues Ratchet. You know, clearly he's not old and gruff yet, right? The Sentinel, you know, we'll meet him later on again. But Sentinel just will hate him forever for this. He will never forgive him for this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to the point where, you know, Sentinel carries around, you know, organic bug spray wherever he goes. It's just weird how it all ties together.
Agreed.
Black Arachnia, I don't want to say they go out of her way to make her flirty, right? But towards the end, you know, when she's fighting Prime, she's very flirty with him. You know, and sex appeal doesn't negate the fact that you just tornado transformed. And she did. It's like, hey, that's not cool. All right. You know, I thought we already stated flatly that we're not going to tornado transform. Everyone's got their own stock footage already. You can't do that. That's not kosher, but she does it anyway. I like the vampire bite that drains Energon from people.
Yeah.
I think it was very Night Scream.
Hmm.
Beast Machines reference there.
Yes.
That could be yeah.
Yeah, it's not as annoying as Night Scream's vampire drain. You know, it's not as loud and painful to listen to. But, you know, basically that's how she walks away in the end. She's completely drained after using Sari's key to try to get rid of her own beast mode. You know, and she's not going to walk away after this until Prime, you know, big dummy idiot that he is, walks right up to her and says, you know, anything I can do for you? Are you okay? And she's like, screw you, buddy, and bites him. That's basically it. But, you know, she doesn't kill Prime. She just drains him of his energy and then runs off. And I don't know. I mean, Prime's mistakes in the past have definitely come back to haunt him. And Black Arachnia, you know, who knows? Maybe she'll come around someday. Beast Wars Black Arachnia did. You know, she eventually turned out to be a good guy in the end.
There's always that possibility.
There is no silver bullet here, though.
Oh, but, well, I want to say somewhere later on, Sentinel meets up with Black Arachnia again and basically goes, can't believe I liked you, you know?
I don't remember off the top of my head, and while I'm thinking about it, I did look up on the TF Wiki, Tara Strong, voice roles, Transformers Animated, Sari Sumdac, Teletran 1, Reception Bot, Daniel, Carly, Slow-Mo, Slipstream, Striker, Red Alert. So, yes, Tara did voice Teletran 1.
Oh, damn. See, I was a much happier person when I thought that was Kree. you just ruined my whole day. Thanks.
You're welcome.
But, I don't think there was enough seasons here for Black Arachnia to turn her back around. I think the last time we see her, she's, you know, busy using the Dinobots as her own personal strike force.
Well, that, and she's also, that's getting into spoilers.
Oh, sorry, Kevin.
It's Michael's fault this time. I almost said something else, but it's Michael's fault this time.
Oh, my fault. Yeah, you wouldn't hit a girl, right? Sucker.
You wouldn't hit a bat with glasses, would you? Flop.
Alright, yeah.
So anything else in Along Came a Spider?
No, I think we're good. I like the episode. I would say that I didn't enjoy it as much as Thrill of the Hunt, just because, you know, Lance Henriksen didn't voice Black Arachnia.
But, that would be a very different show if he did.
Very, very different. But no, I did like it. I really liked seeing Black Arachnia again. You know, and I had one more comment, but I'm going to leave it for after Kevin's comments.
And I'm sure all three of us, Steve included, can agree that out of the three episodes today, Thrill of the Hunt and Along Came a Spider are the best ones.
Yeah.
Two out of three ain't bad. We're going to head to some ads. We're going to go to Cybertron after that, and we're going to come back with the outro.
Transformation Animation Podcast will be back after these messages.
Here is quote number one.
Humans call it playing possum. Don't ask me what a possum is.
Here's quote number two.
Didn't you used to be a redhead?
And quote number three.
So, the purpose of this Halloween is to disguise yourself in order to frighten strangers and extort sugar-infused nuggets.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Finally, quote number four.
Optimus, Elita One, get your fan belts in gear!
Soundwave, jam that transmission!
Rumble Frenzy, Ravage Rat Bat, eject Operation Interference.
No, there will be no Operation Interference. I am TFG1 Mike, and you should be listening to my very first podcast, the TFG1 Podcast. 24 episodes covering the entire U.S. run of the 1984 Transformers cartoon. I also have a few supplemental episodes and an interview with Stan Bush. I bring in guest hosts who will be full-time co-hosts in Steve Megatron and fan of the show now co-host Pecan Court Michael. So check out the TFG1 Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Transform and roll out!
Welcome to my throne room, fugitives. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes, or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Hey guys, it's Optimus Solo reporting live from Cybertron, giving you my thoughts from a first-time viewer on these three episodes of Transformers Animated. And we're starting today with The Thrill of the Hunt, written by Andrew Robinson. First off, I would just like to get the nitpicky negative stuff out of the way. First of all, why is Lockdown a muscle car also on Cybertron? Shouldn't he be in some type of Cybertronian mode? And why does he look like the ICP version of Decepticon? And hopefully people know what I mean by that. Okay, I get Optimus Prime is young, and fine, he can have the gay young-sounding voice. That's fine. But can he please stop being a pansy, for the love of God? The only other nitpicky thing about this episode is I hate the backgrounds during fight scenes when it goes all hyperdrive-esque background colors and diagonal lines and stuff. Why can't the fight scenes have the regular background? But again, that's nitpicky. Let's get to the good stuff about this episode. First of all, I like the Transformer-sounding horn on Bumblebee right at the beginning. That was a nice little touch. Susan Blue as RC, come on, it doesn't get any better than that. And I don't know if anybody else caught this, but I swear that was a Hector Ramirez homage with the news reporter, the guy that used to do all the news reporting on the Sunbow series, like G.I. Joe and G1 and etc. I swear it looked like him, so if that was their intention, that was awesome. I love Ratchet's character in this one. I love the development we're getting in Ratchet's character. I love the little broken, his broken piece eyebrow light thing. I like to call it an eyebrow. And how they actually even explain it in this episode, how he got it. It took me a long time through this episode until I realized why the episode wasn't annoying me and why I was enjoying it so much. That's right, no humans. Yay. Anyways, I know it's been done a couple times here with the person that gathers trophies, kind of best known probably General Grievous as he collected all the different lightsabers, and that's basically what Lockdown's doing. That's what we'll see later in Transformers Prime with Arachnid. But they did it right in this episode, so I'm not going to complain about it. This was a solid episode. I haven't looked ahead to see who writes all the future episodes, but I hope Andrew Robinson does more. Thrill of the Hunt, 8 out of 10, best episode of the series so far. And next we talk about Nanosec, and every time I see Marty Eisenberg as the writer, I don't know what to expect so far. He is all over the place. And this one, well, let's just do it quick, short, and sweet here. I reiterate my point from before. The look of the humans in this series is terrible. Triangular chins. Yes, that's pathetic and lazy. Dystronium, give me a break. Is it just me, or is Optimus Prime like a never-ending PSA? Talking about insurance. I mean, I feel like we're watching the PSAs of the old 80s cartoons at the end. That's every time Optimus speaks. The dude's name's Nano Sexton. Are you fucking kidding me? I don't want to talk about this episode anymore. I can sum it up by giving it a 1 out of 10. This episode sucked balls. Let's move on to something a little bit better, which is the next episode, Along Came a Spider, also written by Marty Eisenberg, which proves my point that he is all over the place with his writing. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. It's episode 9, we're finally getting some Optimus Prime character development. About damn time. So Black Arachne is the female version of Lockdown? I mean, seriously, guys, that was 2 episodes ago, and we're already reusing somebody, a bad character that's collecting trophies or gathering stuff from old people. I know it's not exactly the same, but it seems like we're reusing that a little bit. But so far, they've done it right both times. It just seems weird that just 2 episodes, we kind of did the same thing. My biggest nitpick of this episode is probably the whole Halloween backstory with the humans and everything. That's kind of gay, but... Grant Hill said I shouldn't say that. But I guess it goes along with the whole Spider Black Arachnia theme, so we'll let it slide. The Elite One Black Arachnia angle is clever as hell. The whole organic harkens back to Beast Wars thing. I was worried that I thought it was going to be trying too much to be like Beast Wars, but I think it just kind of straddled the line perfectly. And it was clever. You know, you couldn't have necessarily expected that or seen that coming, so I'll give them credit for coming up with an original, unique idea and not just recycling stories that we've already seen before. Also, I meant to mention this before back in the first episode I was talking about today, but the first episode and this episode, when they're doing flashbacks, just proves how stupid it was in the very first episode of the entire series that they actually used G1 style footage, because now we had a flashback in the very first episode that flashback to G1 style, and now we've had 2 flashbacks that look completely animated style. And I'm fine with the animated style flashbacks, it's just another reason why they should have never used that G1 footage in the first episode. But just wanted to point that out. And the main reason I like this episode is because it has so far the single best line I've heard in Transformers Animated when Sari says about her key, quote, "Maybe I should give this key a rest," unquote. Hell, yes you should. Honestly, I would have given this one a 7 out of 10 until at the very last scene they made Black Arachnia cry. They had her crying, yes. So we're knocking this one from a 7 out of 10 down to a 6 out of 10. So those are my thoughts on these 3 episodes. We'll see where it goes from here. And now back to the crew on Earth.
Now back to Transformation Animation Podcast.
We are back here on Earth, and thank you to Kevin for his Cybertronian correspondence. As far as his thoughts go, really quick, as far as Thrill of the Hunt, leave Optimus alone, you solo bastard. Just leave him alone, damn it. No humans. Michael, any response for Thrill of the Hunt to Kevin?
Not especially on the first episode. I mean, I think everybody enjoyed that one.
Steve?
I am glad there's, the no human thing, and then, leave Prime alone. He doesn't deserve it.
And then as far as NanoSec, we kind of already explained this, and I explained this to Kevin off-air after I received his clip. Nino Sexton was the guy's name, and then someone said he had moved in a NanoSec.
Right.
As far as Along Came a Spider...
What,
NanoSec?
Comments on NanoSec.
Oh, okay.
Steve, anything?
No.
Okay.
That's why I moved on.
Well, I got two here. The first thing is that Kevin was complaining about the hyperspeed lines during action scenes.
Right.
And basically the speed lines during action scenes replace the background in anime. This is like an anime staple. And it, you know, suffice to say, it's supposed to be that way. Just because we mentioned this before, is that the show is taking a more of an anime-centric design. So yeah, I mean, it could be lame, especially with a series like this where the backgrounds are so nice.
Yeah.
But you know, basically that's how it's supposed to be. And no, secondly, Destronium, we talked about this earlier. Destronium is a play on the word Destron, which is the Japanese name for Decepticon. Yeah. It's not something stupid like Avatar's Unobtainium. Yeah, and again, it's clever. It's not a cop out in the writing at all.
Yes. Moving on to the last episode notes for Along Came a Spider. Steve, anything?
Steve.
No, nothing.
I'll have to make sure
either I heard lost part. Him or he fell asleep again.
No, he's
no, I muted my mic.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah. Michael, anything on Along Came a Spider?
Yes. First of all, Black Arachnia is not a female lockdown. She's able to temporarily duplicate the signature powers of other robots. Alita 1 had this power earlier. And so does Black Arachnia. This is why they beat you over the head with the fact that they're the same person. She doesn't take trophies like Lockdown does. She's just using that same power, like Rogue.
Yeah.
And secondly, I liked Black Arachnia crying at the end. Honestly, you know, she's been through a lot, and she has just met up and got saved by the guy who did this to her. For all intents and purposes, you know,
yep.
She needed a good cry. Anyone
yes.
needs a good cry.
Now, Kevin did go into detail with me off air about what his point was about the two similarities between Black Arachnia and Lockdown. Basically, what he's saying is he doesn't like the two character points having kind of the same power thing within so many episodes in between, like. It's like one episode in between the two that use this type of power. Yes, Lockdown and Black Arachnia, it's different, but it's still, to a first-time watcher, it could be considered similar. As far as Alita 1, Black Arachnia's power, I actually did some research because I wanted to know if they were doing Transformers Animated Alita as a G1 homage. I mean, I know the name and I know all that, but... I looked this up and I wrote this down. I copied it off a wiki. G1 Alita 1. Desperate, Alita triggered her time-stopping power, which allowed her to save Optimus, but expended nearly all her life force doing so.
But it kills her, yeah.
Right. In Animated, you have, in her mutant techno-organic form, she makes use of her newfound cyber venom to paralyze her enemies and combines this with her natural ability to download and mimic other Transformers traits and weaponry for a limited amount of time with simple touch. Hope nobody told Lockdown.
Well, I think that with her spider powers, right, I think the ability to mimic other powers is just overkill. It makes her too powerful at that point.
Yeah,
I would have been happier if she just didn't have that power at all.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have had, I don't know, a javelin or something like Lady J out of G.I. Joe. You know, Prime has his axe, Sentinel Prime has his shield, and she has a javelin. And that would have been fine for me. You know, it wasn't necessary to the plot. It was, I mean, yeah, she had duplicated Prime or Optimus Prime's grappler, and it faded out on her, and she fell to her death, or so they thought. She could have fell in any way. A Prime could have been holding her in one hand and slipped, and she fell, you know, which would make his guilt even that much more deep. But it wasn't integral to the story. They don't bring it up again later on, as far as I remember.
No.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, she could have just relied upon it on her spider powers, and that would have been fine.
The thing about Alita before she became Black Arachnia, Optimus kept pointing out, and she kept pointing out, her power does not work on organics.
As far as she knows.
Right, but
because they've never seen organics before.
Right. Well, when that kept being said, that's what actually led me to search out and try to remember what G1 Alita's power was, because that's what I thought they were going for. I thought they were going for the time stopper power that just kills her. That's what I thought they were going for here with Alita 1 and animated, but they went a slightly different way, and I don't mind it because it gives you all this character development for Optimus and Sentinel.
Right, and yeah, especially Sentinel. It really shines a light on where he's coming from when you do meet him.
Yeah.
When he does become a main character, you really see just why he's so screwed up in the head.
Exactly.
It's like, why is Sentinel such a dick to Prime? Well, this is why.
Yes. So thank you again, Kevin. Keep up the great work, and we hope you are enjoying the series. Thank you for joining us here on Transformation Animation Podcast. As always, get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TFA Podcast. Mine is TFG1 Mike. Michael, what is your Twitter?
PecanCT Michael.
And Steve?
SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Transformation Animation Podcast and wish you'll join us next time. We'll be reviewing 4 more episodes from Transformers Animated Season 1, those being Sound and Fury, Lost and Found, Survival of the Fittest, and
Head Mustard.
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Apply directly to the head.
Head on. What? Apply directly to the head.
This is Michael Wilson.
And Steve Megatron Phillips.
We'll tap you again in 2 weeks. There will not be an episode next week because Michael is going on vacation. His wife kidnapped him.
That's right. And we have to watch 4 episodes as opposed to 3, so it's going to take an extra week to get through that one extra episode.
Blah-de-blah-blah-blah.
Transform and roll out.